done.
Good morning, everyone, and those in fact, to ensure that this bill successes. Fortunately, the chairperson has arrived. Honorable chairperson, we understood that you have been delayed, and because we wanted to ensure that the meeting commences at the right time. So I was sitting here representing you, but I think now you have come, I can at least thank you.
Let me thank the member, the whip of the committee, Mama Tembuza, for those warming and welcoming words. I just want to start by apologizing for my delay. I lose my fucking disc, nobody would allow me to follow it. So it was one of those mornings, and apologies. I think we're on time to begin with a public hearing. The first presenter before us is Chief for Housing South Africa. Is here? Yes, this is. I must just say as a committee, we welcome you after a long time of interaction with this committee. We didn't know that the Chief for Housing is still alive. But we are happy to have you in our midst. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Themba Mthethwa, and I'm the former president of the Institute for Housing of South Africa. I've got my colleague with me, Mr. Abraham Duroli, and he's the, I don't know whether it's called the former or the present president of the Institute. He was just telling me that in the meeting last month or so in Limpopo, the women in construction, somebody was saying because the Institute was also supposed to be represented there, somebody was saying, why do you keep on putting these cops in ICU? So it's really not about the fact that the Institute has died. It's about the fact that the Institute is inactive at the moment. And I had a meeting with the chairperson, and the chairperson suggested that when these public hearings take place, we should come and discuss the matter with the committee. As she has already said, we have a long-standing relationship with the committee. I think the reason why we don't have a presentation on slide is because our discussion is basically going to be just a talking discussion rather than a presentation discussion. The chairperson requested that we come because she felt that we have not been able to explain the situation to the committee. And what has happened, I think some of the members of the committee, some of the people, some of the role players in housing will remember that the Institute was actually established quite a long time ago, 1941 to be exact. And it was only in 1999 that it had the first black president, which was myself. And when we took over the Institute, in terms of having it including the black people, it became quite a challenge because the Institute initially before that was just a what people normally call a boys club kind of thing. So it was there. It was highly supported by the government of the time. It was run on the basis of it's just an institution where there will be meetings that will be held in in particular places, only particular people will be invited. And I found myself in that institute when I was the manager of Standard Bank in KwaZulu-Natal, and I was the member of the Provincial Housing Board, and that's how I of KwaZulu-Natal, and that's how I found myself in there. In 1995, I then became the chairperson of the institute in KwaZulu-Natal, and highly supported by Standard Bank to participate in the activities of the institute, because the institute was and is still a voluntary organization. In 1997, I became the chairperson, the vice president, the deputy president of the country. And then in 1999, I became the president of the country. One of the things that happened in 1999... Sorry, the president of the institute. Well, the details on the page. One thing that happened at that time in 1999, I was then working for National Housing Finance Corporation. My CEO, Samson Muraba, said to me, because now you've been appointed as the president of the institute, the NHS, the company would second you on a full-time basis to the institute so that you actually do the work of the institute, which is the work that the country needs in terms of the organization itself. And I'm saying all this not because I want to give you my CV, but I want to lead you to what the cause of us being here and doing the presentation to the committee is. Then Samson gave me the full-time secondment opportunity to the institute. Of course, I then started the office, formal office of the institute. Before that, when it was run by our white colleagues, they were using their own offices wherever and to do the activities of the institute. And they were, as I said, highly supported by the people at the time and also by the government of the time. So there was no formal office of the institute. I then had to find the office. We found the office. We still have that office in Northern Park in a building called the Atrium. Those that deal with the Home Loan Guarantee Company will know where it is. So that's where the Home Loan Guarantee is based. I also was able to find the sponsorship for the institute. We found we got $3 million from the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, which was going to take us for a period of 3 years in terms of the activities and the business plan that we had presented to USAID. It went very well at the time. We were able to bring the industry, the stakeholders together. We were able to subsidize the meetings and the conferences that we were organizing at that time because we had the money. We were able to employ people in the office. We had a research officer, we had a full-time secretary, and we had researchers that were working on our behalf that we were paying to do research on different aspects of housing delivery. We also were able to go to the UK. We had already started a relationship with an organization called the Chartered Institute for Housing in the UK. I was able to go to the UK and speak to them in terms of establishing the undergraduate degree on housing, because at that time, that was one of the issues that we didn't have in the country. And a lot of people were saying, if the institute has to play a role, that can even be legislated by government to say, if you want to work in housing, you should be a member of the institute. How would they do that? Because there is no direct degree for housing in the country. So one of the things that I had to do was then to go to the Chartered Institute for Housing in the UK, speak to them, because they are an organization that is running that kind of business in the UK. They agreed. They sent their experts to come to the country. We were able to go around the country doing a scoping exercise with the different universities in the country. In fact, all the big universities, we spoke to them and we started the process. The universities then approached their councils and all that to establish the degree. Their degree was, in most of the universities, started. I'm not too sure at the moment whether there are any people that can that know about those degrees, because I haven't been able since I left the institute, the office of the institute, to be able to track that down, because I have other work that I'm doing now. So that's the brief background of what happened with the institute. I unfortunately had to go back to NHFC after 3 years, because that was the arrangement with NHFC. Otherwise, my CEO was having problems with the board, saying, "Where is that man coming back? We keep on paying his salary, but where is he? What is he doing? He should now come back, because we have done what we're supposed to do to assist the industry in terms of keeping the institute alive and making it to do work that will assist the industry." So when I went back, it was then difficult, because the new president that took over from me could not get the same arrangement with his company. And of course, that caused a lot of problems, because then it meant there was no driver that would drive the activities of the institute and continue with the work of the institute, including finding sponsorship to keep the office and the staff and everything going. As I said, it was difficult, because you couldn't charge or you couldn't make the members pay fees that would be in such a way that they would feel that, no, we're paying so much, and yet we are engineers, we are architects, we are quality surveyors, and we've got our own professional bodies that we have to pay for, which we are forced by legislation to pay for if we are going to practice. So we had to keep the registration fees very, very low, and which was not sustaining the organization.
Mr. Randolph.
Yeah, so the next president then couldn't continue doing that. The third president also couldn't, and then Abram came in, and he couldn't.
Yes.
Just to round up, I will actually give Abram the opportunity to talk about what we are presenting as a way forward from ourselves in terms of the institute. I'm still involved in housing. I'm still involved in all the committees that I was serving when I was still the president.
So, with respect, I'm wondering if we're going to get a presentation on the bill before us. I think the problems with the institute is probably an issue that we can invite them to one of our normal committee meetings and see how we can assist the institute to get back on its feet. But from what has been said now, the second presenter is going to continue talking about how the organization is going to try and get back. I'm just wondering, they've used up 15 minutes of their time. Is there going to be a presentation on the actual bill? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
John, intimidated by Mr. Stein.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. No, we wouldn't talk specifically on the bill. Like what Mr. Stein said, we're going to present an issues around how we can revise, because our survival will also be able to assist on getting to communities around the bill.
This is the case. Just, I think your presence here would be helpful in terms of listening to what the people are saying around the issue of ACA, and you finding whether there is a connection between yourself, the institute, and the agency that the department is trying to come about. And I think perhaps let's park it there with yourself and make a further arrangement for you to engage with the committee further. Is that okay? To save all of our time. Let's then go to the second presenter, but thanks for your interaction. Let's go to the second presenter, which is Mr. Kes Kuvalia, and then the Benin Association of South Africa. We haven't been with you for a long time, sir, and I know you're going to talk about the 42 video.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to appear before you and your committee, and we welcome the opportunity. Let me just say that I simply make the noise. My two colleagues over there, Prince Maluleke and Pierre Fenta, when it comes to question time, will help me deal with questions, because they know the issues. I just make a noise. Let me, Madam Chair, the 42 billion is done and dusted, Madam Chair. It's delivered. that's not an issue anymore. We want to now look beyond that. We have, Madam Chair, given in a detailed written submission to you, which your committee will at the appropriate time consider. We just felt that it would be useful to take this opportunity to just emphasize some points, and I'm going to be as quick as I can so that the committee can then have time for questions. I want to look at that introduction, Madam Chair. Firstly, we just want to emphasize that we are in principle supportive of the HDA. We believe it's a bold initiative, and a bold initiative is required by government to overcome the housing supply shortage. We also believe that the HDA can play a critical role in reducing the housing supply shortage, especially as government is the biggest landowner of well-located vacant land, and we're going to go into that a bit just now. We are, however, going to just point out some concerns we have, that the HDA is coming into what we consider to be an infrastructure vacuum, both physical infrastructure, social infrastructure, financial infrastructure, that the problem is fast becoming an infrastructure problem rather than a housing problem. And we're seeing that in the power outages, we're seeing that in lack of delivery of roads, sewage, a whole range of issues. And we believe that the HDA coming into that environment, together with the envisaged role that the Department of Housing wishes it to play, will severely hamper its ability to increase housing delivery, but also result in a drain on government and be seen as an opportunity for local authorities and provincial housing departments to relinquish their responsibilities. So we have those major concerns. On the HDA operating model, as envisaged in the bill, we see that the bill looks at the HBA as a sort of a hybrid entity, because it would be required to play both the role of contractor and the developer. And we have a number of problems with that. The first is the diverse function identified for the HDA. It says that it's going to be responsible for repairing over 200,000 deficient subsidy houses. It's going to be responsible for the upgrading of over 1 million units in informal settlements. It's going to be responsible for land acquisition and expropriation nationally. We believe that those functions, just one of those functions alone is enough, let alone all three of them, and that the diverse function is going to be a problem. We believe that the way it's envisaged currently also places it in competition with the private sector, instead of actually trying to leverage up the private sector where possible. And there is a possibility that if it does get into competition with the private sector, it would crowd out private sector developers, which we don't think is the intention. Also, international and local experience suggests that involvement in both the supply and demand side of housing fails. We've got examples in the SA Housing Trust. People around in the committee would know about that. Sambo Bank was an example. We believe the N2 Gateway is an example. And those sorts of getting involved in the full value chain of housing just doesn't work. We also believe that the operating model has envisaged duplicate Kubelisha structures. We believe Kubelisha should operate independently of the HDA. We believe that the diverse areas of focus, and in particular the proposed developer role, will create a bottleneck, as the focus areas are simply too vast and important to be managed by one entity. So that's on the operating model. Other issues we have, that the unsupported release of public sector land will possibly increase market distortions and increase gaps in the housing ladder if developers will continue to be required to fund infrastructure, so it will actually distort the market. It will increase cross-subsidization between market segments, where free service rights for subsidy beneficiaries would be paid for effectively by affordable middle-income families. It would increase the land to stand delay. Currently, it's taking approximately 3 years to get from a piece of land to put in the infrastructure and so on to get to a brick of ten on which a house can be built. It's taking 3 years. We believe that unsupported release of public sector land without taking care of those problems in local authorities and so on will actually increase that problem. We believe it will exacerbate the problem of inadequate economic and social infrastructure. At this point in time, we are having problems with infrastructure.
we are having problems, the housing development to go up, but infrastructure is not there. Unsupported release of public land, just like that,
will actually increase that problem and to further weaken already weak local authorities. The bill also says that the HDA cannot acquire land owned by provinces, municipalities, provincial public entity, or provincial commercial enterprise or municipal entity. But we as a banking association disagree with us. We believe that the HDA must become involved in acquiring land from these entities because in excess of 80% of national housing demand resides within the top 20 municipalities. And these municipalities have land. DFIs need to be included because given their adjacent strategic land owning. Quest for municipalities to maximize the revenues could result in their selling their land for upmarket development with some element of inclusionary housing. If the HDA is not in a position to actually acquire that land as well. And this is expected to increase housing supply by no more than 8,000 to 9,000 units per annum, whereas the backlog at the moment is 2.5 million, 4 million units, and it's growing by approximately 100,000 units every year. So we believe that the HDA will be losing an opportunity to make a significant impact if it's not able to actually acquire land owned by municipalities as well. If only private land is to be acquired, government will need to manage the perception of a land acquisition program for housing, especially if it is perceived to be taken at below market value. And then there's real danger in the FCPs and IDPs. In light of that, Chairperson, we have some recommendations. And you'll see in the handout, I actually changed the recommendations around a bit last night. This is a problem when you have these machines. At the last minute, you want to do things. The recommendations are still the same. I'll just change the order a bit. So you'll still find them there. One, we believe the HDA should assemble land, either existing land, newly purchased land, or expropriated land, on behalf of second, third-tier governments and DFIs for sale to the private sector. We don't believe the HDA should be acquiring that land. It should be expropriating that land, and we'll come into that just now. It should assemble that land. We believe it should not be able to expropriate land, given this is already the jurisdiction of the Department of Land Affairs. And let the Department of Land Affairs continue with it. The Department of Land Affairs can expropriate identified land for low-income housing. The HDA can assemble that and manage that, rather than do the expropriation itself. We believe it should parcel land expropriated by the Department of Land Affairs instead of actually expropriating itself. We believe it should bring together FDPs and IDPs so as to ensure coordination and creativity, which we, in our view, is lacking within second and third tier government. That the HDA is an opportunity to bring together those plans and to coordinate them to bring about creativity and ensure that we get most value for all the resources we're putting in. To formulate physical infrastructure proposals on behalf of second and third tier government to facilitate their motivation, the second and third tier government motivation for funding, both from national treasury, other tiers of government, and so on. And this would be particularly relevant to rural municipalities as well. We believe the HDA can play a critical role if it actually formulates those proposals on behalf of those municipalities, so as to enable those municipalities to appropriately and from an informed basis apply for the funding. We also believe that it should assist second, third-tier governments to navigate their way around a whole range of very complex legislation, MMFA, PFMA, and so on. We also believe it can play a role in upskilling of municipal provincial government resources. It can assist second, third-tier governments in housing project planning and outsourcing. And given all of this, Chair, what we think its role should be, we believe you should not be forming here another massive organization with a massive infrastructure that needs massive funding, and that 3 years from now we'll be talking about in a different way. We believe that the HDA should consist of a lean group of professionals, given the requirement even of the BNG to well-locate and mixed development. The next point is a controversial one.
We believe that if the HTA plays this role, it goes across departments. It will parcel land for the Department of Land Affairs. It will work with local authorities. It will work with provincial authorities. It will work with other departments. We believe DTI, National Treasury, are critical. And perhaps, just a thought, that you place it in something like the presidency, with a critical role for the Department of Housing, because it's housing. But whether you place it in the presidency or in housing or wherever, it must have the capacity to cut across the department and to work with all the departments and in certain instances perhaps to actually tread on a few toes if it needs to. Because the objective here is to deliver housing, not to protect those. So we believe that we need to consider that. Also, in the measurement of the HTA, we believe a pure financial sustainability management measurement is inappropriate. That the HTA has a critical social role to play. And the measurement of its sustainability should be both a financial measurement and a social impact measurement. It must operate well financially, it must have good systems, it must use its money well, but it must also have a social impact. Sound accounting records and a good balance sheet and an unqualified audit without having a social impact will have failed. It has to have both, so it must be measured accordingly. We also believe that it should include on its board representatives from the Department of Trade and Industry as well as Land Affairs, and maybe other appropriate, but certainly those two, because we believe that those two have a critical role to play. In conclusion, Chair, intuitively and in looking at the bill, we believe that the HDA can play a vital and strategic role in the provision of sustainable human settlements, provided, in our humble opinion, its role is amended and narrowed as we are recommending. We further recommend that additional commentary to the bill be obtained from National Treasury, given that one of the roles and envisaged for the HDA is both as a guarantor and a borrower of money. We believe that the need to double housing delivery within 10 years, which is all our aim, necessitates a singular concentrated focus. We contend that an HDA as recommended by us will be that focus, whereas if the HDA as envisaged in the bill is expected to do the range of things that the bill says it should do, it will lose focus. We believe it needs to be focused. And if it plays that coordinating role, if it plays that facilitating role, if it unlocks where the problems are, we believe it can play that focused role. So that, Madam Chair, very briefly is the crux of our presentation. The detail is in our document which was circulated earlier. And as usual, we wish to thank you and the committee for the opportunity, Madam Chair.
For the presentation. Let's allow members to engage with the presenter. Are you tongue tied? Okay. It's a plane followed by grab. And yeah, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Kuvadia for a very thought-provoking presentation. Before I actually go into the substance of the presentation, may I just ask, the actual bill indicates that you did make a submission to the department prior to them tabling this bill in Parliament. And my question, therefore, is the presentation as it is before us today, was it pretty much in the same format, the same sort of suggestions to the department? And if so, obviously a lot of the suggestions that you've made has not been adopted by the department in their bill when they approved it for tabling to Parliament. That's the one question. Then, just to go into some detail on the presentation itself, Madam Chair, if Mr. Kuvadia could just expand on the unintended consequences that we could experience by crowding out private developers, then I want to query, indicate somewhere in here that the HDA would not be able to acquire land that belonged to municipalities, provinces, and other state organs. Now, that is not my interpretation from Clause 5 of the bill. I think it does state very specifically that they may acquire from other state organs. And a last one before, and I'm hoping for a second round after other members have had an opportunity to check. You talk about Kubelisha should operate independently. Now, my understanding is that the whole idea of this HDA is so that Kubelisha can be dissolved and they will be incorporated into this organization, into this agency. How do you see the two of them operating independently? Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Chairperson, and thanks also for the presentation. I just want to find out, as the Honourable Stay was alluding to the fact that the Banking Association had made a submission to the Department, whether there was any feedback from the Department in relation to the submission that you made, whether there was any response to some of the things that you were proposing. And the reason why I ask that is because as a portfolio committee, we've had two interactions with the department on this particular bill. We've had a workshop and we've had a formal presentation in committee. And it relates to the assertion that it would place them in competition with the private sector. And we've asked them quite emphatically as to whether this HDA is going to work on its own or whether it would be working with the private sector. Now, the response that we've received from the department is that that they see this HDA working together with the private sector. So to give you an example, developments such as the Cosmo City, where the private sector is involved. So that's the assurance that we've been given. So I'm just wanting to know what sort of response, the feedback have you had from the department. Then you speak about the fact that, the presentation speaks about the fact of placing it in the office of the presidency, and I'm trying to understand that, because if we're dealing with housing, is that not going to then de-link it from the housing department? I'm just trying to understand what would your motivation be, and why would you not think that this cannot be managed as an agency relating to the housing department? What would be the reason for needing to de-link it from the housing department? Thanks very much.
I just want to say to the department, if you feel you want to engage in the process, please feel free to do so. Over to you, sir.
Madam Chair, I'll take some of them, and I'm going to refer a couple to Peer Center over there, if you don't mind.
Okay.
The suggestions made to the Department of Housing are essentially what we put to the committee, and I'm going to ask Peer just now just to talk about what responses they have in the interaction, because he's been the direct interaction. The unintended consequences of crowding our private developers. Chair, we are firmly of the view that we need to find mechanisms where we optimize all the resources we have at our disposal, government resources and private sector resources. And I think that we would be firmly of the view that what we should be looking for is how best to create an environment where the private sector can actually deliver what it is qualified to deliver, but putting in the checks and balances to ensure that we also meet the social needs we need to meet. So, I mean, inclusionary housing is an example of that, and we've worked very closely with the department and others on the inclusionary housing thing, which we think is a good idea and can work. So our concern here is that if the HDA becomes, you know, we have a habit, unfortunately, in Amazi, in this country, whenever we want to tackle something, we form organizations that have to do everything related to that. If the HDA is responsible for everything, for expropriation of land, for purchase of land, or parceling that land, doing the infrastructure, doing the developing, it just says, well, the HDA is going to do everything, so private sector developers, we can concentrate on the middle and upper end of the market, we don't need to worry. Now, that surely is not the intention. And we believe that if the HDA plays the role of coordinating, of facilitating, of having the expertise
to enable government to negotiate more from a better position of strength with the private sector. We believe it will play a far bigger role. So
the Subirisha thing, again, is to do what Subirisha can continue and become, be a developer and can construct them. We don't believe that should be the role of the HDA. That's why we believe Subirisha should remain on its own. And Subirisha can add to that.
The presidency issue, when I introduced that, I thought it's a bit controversial. The presidency comes to mind because of the way the presidency has been run. Now, I don't want to get into politics here, but let's leave it at that. The principle here is that we believe that if the HDA operates in the way we are recommending, it's going to have to be an entity that actually goes across various departments. Now my understanding of the way government sometimes works, and share my understanding might be totally incorrect because I don't sit where you sit. But my understanding of the way government sometimes works is that departments are fairly protective over their departments. We had an experience not too long ago, although it seems a very long time ago, when we had the office of the RDP. And a minister responsible for the RDP who had to actually go across departments and tell departments in certain instances what they should do. And there were problems. Now all we're saying is that enable this institution, if it is going to operate in the way we're suggesting it operates, enable it to cut across departments and bring in the expertise and resources of various departments towards the delivery of low-income housing and all that entails. So if it has to, if somebody comes to the HDA and says, look, here's a piece of land that we believe is ideal for low-income housing development, and the land belongs to some department in government, the HDA should be able to go to that department and say, look, we need that land. Have it to us. And if that department, for various different reasons, they know the HDA should be able to go to somebody and say, look, we've got a problem. So it needs to have that sort of functionality and flexibility. If it can have that sitting in the Department of Housing, great. If it can have that sitting somewhere else, great. But that's the idea. And I'm sure if I could just ask Pierre to deal with the interaction with the Department of Housing and anything else he wants to add, principal. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could just start and just expand a little bit on that crowding out, because I think it was raised by two people. I think if you look at the private sector, they're in the business for profit. And if there's no profit incentive and the profits are null or losses are experienced within a government department, it obviously gets to put them in a privileged position. The other thing that one needs to bear in mind is cost of capital. Your private sector has a cost of capital, and essentially, this is an allocation or free allocation of money, which is really a scarce resource which has been held back from education or health or whatever it is to go into this vehicle. So, again, there's the danger that it would put them in a privileged position. And then I think the third real element is the cost of land element, where your private sector would be required to purchase land at market value, whereas this entity may inherit a whole lot of land way below market value. If you put these factors together, you could actually have a privileged position where your private sector feels it can't compete, and for simply those reasons, not on efficiency reasons, because I think your private sector is more efficient than government. The question around the Office of the Presidency, and I just want to expand a little bit. I think we were talking more about holistic infrastructure. Holistic infrastructure means physical infrastructure, which is your houses, your schools, your roads, your link services, your actual physical infrastructure. Outside of that, you've got social infrastructure, which is really your health and your schools and everything else aligned to that. And then economic, which is really job opportunities. And there's always been a big question, is what comes first, the house or the job? So if you're trying to get some form of integration together around all these holistic infrastructure, somewhere along the line, you're going to cut into your... Outside of housing, really is pretty much at the end of the value chain. It's only a tiny component of the whole thing. A critically important one, yes, but unless all those other things are there, the RDP department that Kaz spoke about earlier on, there is no coordination role in government. So we've seen development being developed where the Department of Education has got other priorities and schools are only delivered 3 or 5 years later. The hospitals are, or health or clinics are only delivered some years later. The roads are not in place. And this is what's actually detracting from the suburb. The suburb is about families and infrastructure and wanting to be there. The third point was the one around what sort of response we've had from the Department of Housing. We've had a number of verbal engagements, but we haven't actually had a full response to our submission. Our submission is pretty much what we suggested to the department some months ago. And then I think the fourth comment around Tubulisha, which I was asked to comment on. Tubulisha would be a developer who would facilitate development through professionals for housing. Tiny component of the overall holistic infrastructure we're talking about just now. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you. Chairperson, I want to put a question to the presenter. It's been raised within our committee that, and I pick it up from your recommendation, that if one actually took some of these into consideration, would we not have a situation, a justifiable situation, where the functions, and let's for the moment forget about where we place it in the presidency because of its overarching functions, but would the National Department of Housing, is a lot of the recommendations in terms of what the HDA should do if it's a standalone thing, from your presentation, is it not something that with a little bit of manipulation is perhaps the wrong word, but with some change within the department, that the department should currently be carrying out those functions that you're recommending? That's the one question. Then I think you touched on it as well, and I'm also concerned that it's going to take the motivation away from the municipalities to become accredited. Now, and we're therefore going to create, and we're not even looking at the skill shortage, which was obviously questioned by the committee. But you will probably find that where you do have some skills in the metro, that they will gravitate towards this superstructure, this agency. So your comment on that, please. Thank you.
Thanks, thanks, Commissioner Chair. Just by listening to your comments and the responses that you're making, and certainly in your presentation, there doesn't seem to be any disagreement of the need for this housing development agency. But you're raising some issues here. Now, I imagine you've obviously gone through the bill because you put in the submission to the department. How would you then suggest, based on the things that you're saying, what would you suggest needs to be changed in this bill? What clauses need to be added? How do they need to be strengthened? Because you're raising a whole lot of things. So if you're wanting us to consider these things, it would be helpful to actually say to us, you know, in this particular clause, we feel this should be the wording or this should be changed. This is what we need to strengthen it. But I also just want to get your comments. I mean, I think one of the challenges that we're facing in housing at the moment is that we've got this backlog. It's increasing. We've got the upgrade of informal settlements. Do you think that that such a body will add to that, or are you suggesting? Because I see you saying here that it shouldn't be focusing on all of these functions. It should really just be focusing on some functions. So, could you tell us what do you think this agency should actually do? What is the core area and its core function? And would you not also maybe agree that that we do need perhaps a single body entity that can really focus on all of the areas that you're saying it shouldn't focus on? Because in my opinion, that would ensure we can actually speed up housing delivery in the country. And wouldn't such a body be able to drive that with concentrated focus? rather than just a scattered focus as at the moment in the current approach. Thanks.
Chair, let me just, and then again, here and through with your indulgence, Chair, whether the National Department of Housing could carry out the function of the HDI, Mr. Stein, HDA, I think that the role of the National Department of Housing is much broader than that. The way we are envisaging in our recommendation, the HDA is a very specialized entity. And to a certain extent, it also touches on Mr. Shiman's question about whether HDA playing a core function won't actually facilitate breaking the housing backlog. What we are finding in practice is that there's no shortage of money. There's a whole range of inefficiencies in the whole area of construction and building products and all of that. The prices are going up. There's infrastructure issues and so on. There's issues in municipalities about getting empty land to get it to a stand and so on. These are all issues that a private sector developer or a private sector financier cannot actually handle. We believe that if there's a specialist agency that actually concentrates on unblocking the blockage, whether that blockage is sitting in the private sector, whether that blockage is sitting in government, in whatever department, we believe that's the critical role this thing can play. And then begin to coordinate. So if there are pieces of land lying around all over the show, to say, begin to identify those pieces of land, say we can actually parcel it. And we can then farm it out and sell it to the following private sector people because they are going to build houses on the ground. So we believe that's the focus it should have, rather than be all things to everybody in the housing environment. The skills issue, Mr. Singh, is obviously a serious issue. But, you know, if you're not going to lose skills from metals into the HDA, you're going to lose it to a bank or to somebody else. I'd rather you lose it to the HDA, quite honestly. So we obviously going to have to deal with the skills issue, as we have to deal with it all the time in a range of issues. The changes in the bill, clause by clause, and I'd ask here to come in here, but usually our practice, Madam Chair, is not to submit to committees, clause by clause changes. We do that with departments. I don't know to what extent we've done that. It's here in front of the coming.
Madam Chair, thank you. I think just to add to Kaz's comments, we haven't looked at specific items within it for the simple reason that a lot of our recommendations are very different to what is envisaged for the role of the Housing Development Agency. If we had to strengthen the Housing Development Agency, which is really a question asked of us, I think if you look at page 4, paragraph 5.4, that is the big elephant. You know, there was a question asked by Butch Strangers now saying, where do you see that it can't get involved in all these, on acquiring existing land and all that? Clause 4 is very specific. It excludes probably 90% of the land opportunities in this country from the HDA, and that is what we are saying must come out. So that if there's any clause that really is a big empty, it's that one. I think just in terms of, and Kaz has expanded on this core function, but you know, and I think that one really needs to look at holistically, you know, there's a question of, isn't the upgrade of informal settlements very important? Absolutely. You know, I think we've made commitments in terms of the Millennium Development Goals. It is a huge need in our country. It's creating a lot of social instability, et cetera, et cetera. But how do you actually upgrade those informal settlements when you don't have infrastructure that goes into those informal settlements? There aren't roads. There isn't water. There isn't sewage that can drain into those settlements. How do you actually do what is required? The brick and mortar or the houses only come at the end of that value chain, and that's why we are suggesting that the agency fulfill that coordination role to actually get that integration going. There's such lack of integration that and I've seen one of the other presentations or submissions here, that housing is not, hasn't been able to raise the bar in the last dozen years in this country. We are floundering at just over 200,000 units a year, where we really need to more than double delivery. And how do you do, raise that bar? And in our view, it's the only way is through integration, through an agency like this. And if it's not this agency, then what is it? We have to create another precursor entity to do that. And yes, your comments around Tbilisi, what should Tbilisi do? It should continue to facilitate development. But I think the issue around informal settlements and the repair of existing subsidy houses, which are inadequate, that's too big an elephant for even Tbilisi to manage on its own. It needs to be broken up into manageable, focused units that actually address the core challenges that government is facing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Honourable Member Fulbert, Honourable Member T.
No, Chair, just a comment that was made now in relation to Clause 5.4 of the bill. Just to indicate that in our interactions with the department already, we've been advised. And in fact, it's been confirmed to us that in this process, once we come to actually going through the bill clause by clause, that clause is coming up. That's what we've been told by the department. And that's what they've actually submitted to us.
Sorry, Ken. What the Honourable Member just said, can I also confirm that a day or two ago, the DG also assured us that that clause is going to come out. So we're very happy with that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, just in terms of that clause, I concur with what Greg has just said, because Clause 5.1a actually contradicts Clause 5.4. It's a direct opposite of what it says. Chair, just one last one to the presenter. Assuming one has to take, as a committee, we have to take some of your recommendations into consideration, would you not agree, and I'm going back to my earlier question, that an organization like the HDA could very well, focused organization as you suggest, could very well be made a directorate of the National Department of Housing, rather than starting up a sort of a superstructure which is for the first year or two is going to concentrate on getting itself up and running, its administration, its staff, etc., and therefore lose focus of what it's actually supposed to be. Can it not be brought in quicker as a directorate within the current department? Just your personal or your opinion on that, please.
Theoretically, absolutely. But, you know, our experience and from what I read in the papers is that at the moment there's, I don't know, vacancies of quite a high percentage in government. Okay. You then establish a directorate in the Department of Housing. You're going to have to find people for it anyway to start it. And you need to then assure everybody, including the public, I would think, that that department will, to a certain extent, be ring-fenced. And that department will do what it needs to do, irrespective of what's happening in the rest of the department. I think that's difficult. It's not impossible. I think if there's problems in any department, you can't ring fence a particular director, there'll be some contagion. And my view is that would be unfortunate. Also, we don't foresee the HDA taking 2 or 3 years to set itself up. We're seeing a lean structure, a lean administration structure, with some professionals with good project management capacity and capability that can then even solve in professional as and when they need. We're not seeing a big building with 300 people working in it. And we believe that if it's structured in the way we are recommending, with the role that we are recommending, we believe that the potential of working with the private sector, with our sales points, we'd be willing to come to the party with capacity and so on. And so this thing should see itself as really a facility that can coordinate and be in a position and have the sort of expertise that can identify the best resources available, whether they're sitting in government, the private sector, community groups, wherever, and pull those together, coordinate them towards a focused goal, which is putting others on ground.
Okay, I just hear from what you're saying, you are, your proposal is that this entity should be linked and should be focused primarily on the acquisition of land. No, I'm coming back to you. In the manner that you have formulated, it doesn't expropriate because the Department of Land Affairs is there, but rather receive the land and sell it to whoever wants to build houses, particularly the private sector, which is a few. And then you are also saying that in terms of Tubelisha must continue to be a developer. So in other words, that this entity should not be necessarily be a developer or a contractor as such. And so that's the kind of proposal you're coming up with. It's a little bit of a dilemma in my mind. Because we are saying, we envisage an HBA which will help in facilitating and ensuring that the house is getting built. And you see this question of this entity assisting in building and such revamping the houses which are poorly built as massive, and it's going to be impossible for it to do that growth. So the land should be the only focusing on it, the land acquisition.
No, Madam Chair, we don't see it focused only being land acquisition. I think that's a critical focus. But we also see its role as, so here's an informal settlement with houses that need to be upgraded. Identify the best capacity in the country to be able to do that and coordinate that and project manage that capacity and say, right guys, we're pulling you guys together and you ladies together because of your expertise. This is your deliverable in this period of time. Make sure it happens. And they must be on that and they must make sure it happens. Okay? Similarly, local authority acts somewhere in a rural area. They've got good ideas, they've got plans, does not have the capacity to meet the MSMA requirements and put it, work with that local authority. Say, okay, in that local authority, here, Center, you're going to go there for 2 months and work with that local authority. Sit down with them, have them work out this thing, submit it to National Treasury or wherever for the funding. So a whole lot of roles that can unblock these blockages. So there are problems in municipalities about servicing of land, about registration of land at the moment. Identify people. You approach the bank, I can promise you tomorrow we'll give you people to work with you. Send them in. Say, what are the problems? Fix it up. So we're saying that's not the role, because if we begin unblocking those things, there's plenty capacity to build a house in Malaysia. There's plenty money to build a house. Money is not the issue. But why are developers pulling out of this environment? Because they're having to wait 3 years before they can get the land to build on. And they can't pass that cost on to consumers in the low-income market. But they'll go to the high-income market because they can pass the rolling cost on. Now, we need to tackle that. That's the problem. There have been instances where housing development has stopped because the bulk infrastructure is not there. The problem is not the housing. The problem is the bulk infrastructure. Make an intervention then, bring in the people. So we're seeing that sort of a role. Very flexible, very professional role.
Joe, we're looking to you to hear what you're saying. You've been listening. You can't be quiet for so long.
Proceed, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I think the comments from the Banking Association are quite encouraging, and as indicated, thought-provoking. Ma'am, I think there is just one or two areas that we would remain seized with. And I think from what the recommendation was around the location of the agency, I think we need to isolate the principle in that. And the principle in that relates to the capability of the agency to cut across various line functions. If we go back, ma'am, insofar as the comprehensive plan for the creation of sustainable human settlements goes, that is exactly what is envisaged. Now, how then the state, or rather government, is organized relative to the intention of sustainable human settlement becomes a separate issue. But there is no doubt that the intention of alignment, integration across line functions has always been a primary concern insofar as sustainable human settlement is concerned. And therefore, clearly, that capability would need to be secured. And I think that's the understanding. And I think even Cabinet, as it deliberated on these matters, it was that understanding. Land Affairs, for example, and there's much reference to the Department of Land Affairs, the scope of mandate of the Department of Land Affairs straddles various areas, and not just housing. Housing is but one piece in that. And therefore, the consensus with the Land Affairs Department was really appreciating the fact that there's a specific focus that is required here. Should the Department of Land Affairs and any other department wish to make use of the service of the agency, then contract it. That's the understanding, and I think that's provided for in the bill. It can contract out whether to any other department or province or municipality, that will be that's guaranteed. Now, with regard to the issues relating to development, integration, and the infrastructural issues, what we're envisaging in saying the agency will also fulfill the role of not only land acquisition, land packaging and preparation. So land must be brought to a state of ripeness such that development can happen. Now, in that, and I suppose it's by implication, and I think we can get to the specifics, the implication is that the agency should and will be able to undertake such considerations as the infrastructural concerns that allow for housing development, not only housing development, but settlement development. So it may well be that it's a function of articulation here. And we concur, the full housing delivery value chain does indicate that the blockage is not just the land, because what you have the land is the infrastructure. And therefore, packaging those becomes important. So I think that is why, Madam Chair, I'm saying we welcome the recommendations insofar as I think the principles inherent in those recommendations are concerned. What is encouraging, Madam Chair, is that we will come back to this committee in a few months' time when my colleagues in the bank, that is, in the banks, may find pressure when we start saying, here's the agency. Remember those people, that capacity you promised to the portfolio committee, where is it? Because we will come after that capacity, because the agency is envisaged to assemble capability to achieve specified outcomes. So that is the consideration, ma'am. And lastly, in this regard, ma'am, I think we may just need to remind ourselves as a collective where institutions such as Tubelish, institutions such as CEPCON arise and where they are today. Those institutions, their mandates have matured. And hence, the view that we will establish the agency we will close those institutions. Whatever expertise lies in those institutions, it will be harvested going forward. But it is not the intention of the department to retain, especially institutions such as Tubelisha, while you're establishing the agency. It's part of rationalizing the existence of these institutions, and that's been made clear, Madam Chair. So I just didn't want to leave that unattended, because it is a specific quid pro quo. As we establish the agency, we will discontinue the some or other of the institutions. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Madam Chair, I mean, just from me in conclusion, just to say that we've offered the Department of Housing capacity before, and I offer it and record it now. I have absolutely no doubt that in a few months' time we'll be able to come here and say, yes, we have provided capacity. And I just want to also record, Madam Chair, that our interaction with the Department is always a very good one, and we believe we have the same objective, so we welcome the comments as well, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Members, we want to round up the input by this presenter, unless the members who feel that they want to raise one or two issues. But I think we've been able to engage with Mr. Schneerman.
Actually, just a comment maybe the department can give thought to and come back to us once we finish this process of hearings. But it just relates to the issue of the ability to cut across line functions. I mean, one of the problems that we're experiencing currently is that departments are just not coming together. There's no interdepartmental planning, interdepartmental budgeting. So when you put in place a new housing development, it's quite correct that many of the required infrastructure comes much later. I think I do share the concerns. I think some of the concerns that the Banking Association is raising. And perhaps we need to look at, and the department should be looking at then, how do you bring those things around about in this bill? How do those things get stated in this bill? Otherwise, I think I do agree that we're going to sit with the same problem. So that would be something I just wanted to raise, that we shouldn't lose sight of. And I think also around, perhaps they could also look at making more specific in this bill the issue of infrastructure. Because whilst it talks about developing land, it doesn't necessarily come out very clear. So I don't know, maybe develop does mean infrastructure, but I just think maybe it needs to be a little bit more specific. So I'm just raising something for the department to look at. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, member, for that. Yes, our experience with the intergovernmental relations, that this piece of legislation in terms of the Act, to see the fruits of it, it takes too long for us to recognize if it gets implemented. And I think that is why there is also this suggestion that perhaps this entity should be placed within presidency. The idea is to give it peace. But I think the department, in terms of crafting the piece of legislation, should make sure that HDA at the end of the day does have teeth. So that at the end of the day, as much as we are not supporting the issue of it being taken to the presidency, because otherwise you are creating blockages in the presidency itself. But let's make sure that it, at the end of the day, we allow it to be cross-cutting so that it can really do the unblockages that we are interested in. Thank you very much. And for that input, and we'll interact with you in the future. We thank all your presenters as well. Let then allow us to go to the next presenter, members. The villages. The village community representative council. Mr. Khasi. Middle village. Where's the lower village? Yes.
Oh, my brother.
That's where the villages are.
Get up here.
Okay. Remember, we can have tea then. Even if it's not there.
Yeah, there you are.
Wednesday.
Which Wednesday? The one next Wednesday.
Next
Yeah.
She's
no, she's not here, yeah. It's an Wednesday. So, yeah. Hey, you're doing well this year. I can see you all put Hey, and remember, hey, you, my comrade. I can see. You beat David.
Yeah,
no. Oh, is Mr. Dan?
Is
this young kind of boy? The young one. Hello, sir. Hello, baby. Hello, baby. I didn't say he must lose this before he wants to. You know what happened last week? Me and the bodyguard, no? So ages, but I just changed, and you know, they didn't ask me anything because they said that they just opened, they said this message is very black. Two bodyguards and somewhere in the back, and then I was talking because nobody had to bump out. And then I jumped out and rushed to the office. And then when I was at the reception, because I wanted to make and then they bumped out someone on the phone. Where's the money? I said, no, cool down, guys. Yes, hello baby. I'm sorry. This is Mantiba. Bye. See you. I'm new friend. But drop the center as well. Oh, that's my friend. I can work well, right? Oh, okay. So I'm going to say,
yeah,
Thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Mr. Shabani.
When is Minister going to thank you?
Today is two. For Christmas. Yeah. I guess there are any changes. My question is only one. And the other my changes, so I'm sending the others off. Okay. To inform you that the issue of court of no, because he contracted one about, and I told him when I went on this. What's his name? Money.
Members.
I am going to chase him out of the car.
Let's regroup.
What is it?
Always for a village that never happened. The village was never
there. Do what I have to do.
Members, we are at a position where the presenter, the middle, all watch out, you know, the middle. the Middle Village Community Representative Council. The first time we hear about the council in anything necessarily. So it was interesting, we wanted to hear from them. But they're not here now. We're not sure because in terms of the program, they're supposed to be here first 11 to the first 12. You're not sure. We're saying that this by time maybe they'll be here at 12. But it's 12 o'clock. They are not here. Okay. Members, we are at a time where we should decide we continue the committee deliberation, but under normal circumstances, we're supposed to do the deliberation after the presenter has left on our own as a committee. You can leave now. Can we excuse the other people that we can remain as a committee? So we can start the business of the committee. Thanks, Felicia. We saw you there. Yeah, sorry for that. We thank the department, and all other presenters. We speak for housing. Thank you for coming.
We will follow the new president of the country.
Emma, in terms of the presentation that we have before us, let us all agree that we had a presentation from the Institute for the Banking South Africa. And we did have other presentations which are within our package, which to my mind, some of them are really meaningful in terms of the issues that in terms of their suggestions. They need to be taken on board. But I think the Banking Council input was eye-opening in terms of the HDA, the institute itself. You are really ready to say we should go and incorporate. Why don't we do it this way? We allow parties to go into respective constituency or caucuses and internalize what has been presented before us so that when we meet as a committee, we're in a position of saying these are the suggestions that we're putting forward for the HDA in its deliberation. Or if members now they're in a position to engage on this presentation, they can do so. Greg, I can see that you want to say something.
So, Jefferson, I was going to agree with your suggestion that, and perhaps I could make a slight alteration to that, is that we allow the presentations of tomorrow as well. When we come in tomorrow, there's input, and that after that, respective parties should then should meet and then come back at the next portfolio committee with concrete viewpoints and suggestions.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think Greg and both Greg, I mean, you have been covered by what Greg has said. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, members. And then, if you look in terms of that, in terms of our program, I think next week will be suffice on Wednesday for us to deliberate. Or do you want us to have a meeting on Friday? Is it necessary? Members.
Chair, I was going to suggest that there's so many here that we look at Friday and Saturday. On a more serious note, would it at all be possible that before we meet as a committee, that some sort of, if we can create a viewpoint from our respective parties, that perhaps that could be distributed at least the day before, so that when we actually meet, if I have a problem with some of yours and you have a problem with all of mine, then at least when we get to the meeting, we have looked at it and we can then deliberate and take a viewpoint. Otherwise, we get to the meeting, you know, I see it for the first time, you see it for the first time, and we may very well then have to meet the Friday as well.
Look like you've put a bombshell here, nobody's wanting to move.
Can I suggest that you come with some sort of a ruling on my suggestion tomorrow? You obviously need to discuss it with your caucus and so on.
No, but I think there's no need for that, because whatever we bring in,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to bring in something in a meeting, and then we discuss about it, and then if we don't agree, we'll see how to tackle that matter, how to handle that matter. But I don't think it's such a big issue. And I don't think we differ too much, more especially on this HDU. Because I think the issue that was the critical concern of the dean was the issue of creating that directorate within the Department of Housing. So, but when we just engage at length extensively, we'll find that sometimes they are not in two, are not apart with us. So I don't see any necessity for that.
I'm listening now. You're engaging on the input. Okay. Don't take it up with the thing. I just allowed her because I didn't want to cut her. But I think let's go to respective parties. Let's bring our ideas in terms of the committee. We don't have to have anything written down. See Mr. Stain and come up with your input from your party. Other members will come up with input from their parties. We don't want to tie them out and return submissions to the thing. That's submissions within submissions. What do you want the parties to do? To look at the submission in terms of this, so that when they deliberate at the committee level, they are informed from those particular positions. But you don't have to have anything from your side written down in that regard. Let's keep to the practice of the committee. Let's not introduce new things. We make our life difficult unnecessarily. You must remember we are members. Just coming here and we have to draft and put presentations and after presentations, mind-boggling. But we would know from what position we're coming up if we have to discuss it, deliberate on it, and if we allow our members that they are in a position to deliberate on the issue. If we disagree, we disagree in the committee, that's not a big deal. We'll find the consensus at a particular point, which we will seek for consensus at the end of the day. We'll seek and try and marry the views of other parties and come up with something that the portfolio committee can live with. Is that okay? Yes. Thank you. Members, I think finger lunch will be said here. Members of this committee, they hate finger lunch. When you learn that you don't want finger lunch, members of this committee don't want to, no more must I convey this message to members, because they don't like it. It's unhealthy. But they have to live with it. She has organized in the lunch members. Ahmad. Thanks, members. The single lunch is supposed to be here at 12:30. The time is 10 past.
Tamo said never returns, but nobody knew that the villagers won't be here. So please don't get on collision.
And it's not much of a anything. It's just a Monday, it's a week of concrete.
They want
a tender. Yeah, but not a different from the one company.
They want more work. They will come here like business and practice people.